reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free, free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if the Spirit is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Welcome again to our live streaming service this day. We want to look at that passage of scripture that we just read from Romans chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Do you notice how Paul begins, therefore? And I remember one of my professors in school always saying, when something starts with therefore, you need to look to see what it's there for. And so really, it's a continuation of what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 7. There's really nothing worse than feeling guilty. I don't know whether you remember back to when you were younger. And you know, you were home alone or home with your brothers or sisters and something happened. And you were dreading when your mother and father came home. Or maybe it was your mother that said to you, wait till your father comes home. And you just had that cringing feeling inside that something was going to fall on you. You wanted to avoid that conversation more than anything else, but you knew it was coming. Or perhaps it was at work and you made a blunder, something really bad, and you thought you'd covered it up pretty good, but sooner or later the inevitable happened and somebody noticed the mistake that you made, and you knew that you were going to have to answer for it. Mistakes. Mistakes of our own making. Mistakes that we unavoidably made in our lives. They all led to feelings of guilt and shame, and feeling that we were under this great cloud. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 8, we live under a cloud of guilt because we were born knowing that there is a God that demands a perfect life from us. We also know that ultimately in so many situations, we've failed to live up to his perfect decrees. So there we sit, like a child, waiting for mom and dad to see the destruction that we caused when we took that marker and scribbled all over a freshly painted wall. hoping the day of punishment will never come. But in this situation, it's so much worse because we're not talking about being grounded or having TV taken away from us. We're talking about our soul's eternal welfare. And so, therefore, Paul begins. What's it there for? Well, we go back to Romans chapter 7, verses 16 and 19. Paul says, "Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Paul finds himself continually facing sin because of the sinful flesh, the sinful nature that dwells in him. He can't get rid of it. Despite feeling like an alien part of himself, he wants to be freed from it, but he can't be. And this sinful flesh's work doesn't absolve him of responsibility. He's not playing the devil's made me or the devil made me do it card. No, his sinful flesh brings condemnation on himself because it puts him at odds with God's law. When we read through the Ten Commandments, we start to feel a little better about ourselves. We start to think, well, you know, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen things from other people. And then God's law turns around and brings the full force of its fury to bear. Jesus was clear. It's not just adultery that condemns. Lust does as well. It's not just murder that condemns. Anger and hatred will do that as well. It's not just theft that condemns. Right in the Ten Commandments themselves, we find that coveting, longing for something not ours, does as well. So God's law stands as our enemy, condemning us for the things we do, say, or even think. The very attitudes of our heart and the motivations for everything we do are judged and condemned by this law. It makes it so clear how far we have fallen from what God demands. In fact, Paul says in our lesson this morning that the sinful flesh, the sinful nature, is so far removed from what God expects that it simply cannot do anything God wants. He says, "The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Despite all of that, though, Paul says clearly and confidently now, there is now no condemnation. Is that doublespeak? What happened? The law didn't lose its tooth. God didn't stop caring about sin. The difference is there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our connection to Jesus is what ends the law's ability to condemn us of sin. Paul goes on to explain God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, the original purpose of God's law was to show us the way of life. Do these things perfectly and you will live forever. Of course, we've already seen that we haven't done that. Sin weakened the law so that it could no longer grant that life, but only bring condemnation and death. So God had to step in and do what the law could no longer do. He had to be the one to bring life to sinful mankind. And he did that by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. God himself took on human nature, one that looked like every other sinful person, but with one important difference. He was perfect. In his perfection, he fulfilled the requirements of the law that we had failed to do. He never faltered in anything. He never said, did, or thought anything wrong. He was completely perfect. And in the end, he condemned sin in the flesh. That is, he took the punishment for the world's sin on himself when he died. So now we are changed. Jesus was perfect on our behalf and took the punishment for our sins on himself. We don't need to live in the fear of a guilty conscience or impending doom from God's wrath, because we have been set free, changed, from ones who live by the law of sin and death to ones who live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us through God's word and his sacraments. His presence reminds us that we are God's forgiven children. We have no need to fear God because sin has been completely undone in Jesus' life and his death. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the promise of God that he has fulfilled for all of us in Jesus. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 13. God's love has had a fundamental and complete change for our lives. We have been, as Paul says, those who live according to the flesh, and thus set our minds on things of the flesh. But now we are those who live according to the Spirit, and set our minds on the things of the Spirit. As sinful people, we knew nothing of God's love and only about God's anger over sin. We only lived in sin and thought about sin and contemplated how to sin more. But now we live according to what the Spirit would have us do and say and think. We're God's dearly loved children. Why would we want to sin against him? And so the law doesn't go away when we become Christians, but its role changes. It changes from exclusively being a mirror which shows how greatly we have faltered, to also being a guide, a roadmap, a GPS navigator, if you will. When we think about all that Jesus has done for us, that his work rescued us from hell and has assured us of heaven, we want to thank God for that. And his law shows us how to do that. As Christians, the Ten Commandments ought not be primarily a list of rules which condemn us for the things we've done or not done. For us, this is a list of ways to show our gratitude to God. God has freed me from sin. Why would I want to commit adultery or lust after someone? God has freed me from sin. Why would I want to murder or let anger or grudges burn and fester in my heart? God has freed me from sin. Why would I want to steal or covet what others have? God has freed me from sin. Why would I want anything else in this life to be more important to me than my Savior, Creator God? And so you, my dear brothers and sisters, live according to the Spirit. You know that Jesus condemned sin in himself so that you would not be condemned. You know that you love God. Your love of God is love beyond measure. You know that you will be with him forever. May his law be always your opportunity to show your gratitude and heartfelt thanks to God, who has rescued us from sin and death and has brought us new life. We are free. Sin has been undone. There is no condemnation. May our lives always, always be a thanksgiving to God. Amen.